Let me quickly, I'll give you two verses. Are you guys with me? And then we're going to pray for you. I don't know what we said we'll do tonight. Go with me to Luke 1 verse 17. Oh, I said I won't be late, so we won't be late. Okay. Luke 1 verse 17. Listen. Say with these words with you. Say the spirit of Elijah. Say like that. Say the spirit and power of Elijah. Can I teach you something tonight short? Are you guys with me? We speak of the Spirit of God. We speak of the Holy Spirit. But there's something that happens when it comes to the spirit of Elijah. Listen to this. He will also go before him. Now, it's speaking of John the Baptist, who will go before Jesus, preparing the way. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Are you guys with him? So he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. I can preach on this. Listen, this is an hours and hours, but we can't do it tonight. Listen to this. And the disobedient to the wisdom. Say with me the wisdom, which means phronesis. So if you've been in our church, you will know that I've taught you on the three realms of wisdom. When it comes to Sophia, Sunesis, and Phronesis. Sophia is a normal wisdom. It is a wisdom that can be from God, or it is a wisdom that can even be from the world, but it is a wisdom nevertheless. Then you have what we call Sunesis. The word Sunesis in the Greek, Sun, means to walk alongside someone. And Nesis, Sunesis, Esis, on the Greek, the second part of the word, means everything. Which means that when you walk in this wisdom, you have the ability to walk next to everything that your heart desires. That is the second realm, Sunesis. What happens is when you come into this church, a prophetic church, you will understand what I'm preaching tonight. But if I have to do this in any other church, they will not have a clue. Are you guys with me? Because the prophetic has the ability to increase your sunesis, the ability to see things that others cannot see. Put on for me before we carry on with this, Mark 4 verse 11, I think it was. Put on for me Mark 4 verse 11. Listen to this. And he said to them, to you it has been given. Say this with me. Say to me, it has been given. Listen to this. To some it has been given. To others it has not been given. I want you guys to understand this. Are you with me? I want you to understand what it is to be in a prophetic church. Many can claim to be prophets, or can claim to be in a prophetic church. But when we begin to speak this language, they cannot. It's a veil that covers their eyes. They are unable to see or even understand. They'll walk out of this place not knowing one thing, what I say. They'll even think now, won't even be able to listen because of a veil. Are you guys with me? To you that are sitting here, it has been given to know the mystery, the mysterion, the secret. There are secrets that some can know and others cannot. It's what we call an esoterical realm of knowledge. That's the third realm of wisdom, phronesis, which I'll get into now. That to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom. To you that are sitting here tonight, if you have not walked out yet, you'll see like one or two services, people will, they won't even walk, they'll run. Because it is too much. Are you guys with me? To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, so the outside, all things comes in parables. He says, listen, to those who has the ability to see with a sunesis, with a veil lifted that is in a prophetic church. And I'll get on and you'll understand now why. He says, to them I speak plainly. I make them known the mysteries. But to others out there, I have to speak to them in parables. You have been taught in Sunday school that a parable is there so that, you know, it makes things like a story. No, it's nonsense. Parables is there to keep secrets hidden from those whose hearts are not right. And it is there for the, to be revealed to those whose hearts are right, like it's saying here right now. So he says, listen, when it comes to those outside, I speak to them in parables. This is Jesus. Next verse. So that, why do I speak to them in parables? So that seeing they may see, but they will not perceive. Hearing they may hear, but they will never understand. Lest they should turn. That word turn means to repent from a religious place of view to a childlikeness where the mystery can be returned to them. For it's childlikeness whom the mysteries of the kingdom is revealed to. And this, listen to this, he says, I speak to them in a parable so that they will not turn or repent. This is Jesus. Are you guys with me? So that this, in case their sins should be forgiven them. This is a very confusing scripture. He's saying, listen here, there are people that are still have a veil, and I will not reveal secrets to them. Because if I do reveal secrets to them, it is like pearls being cast before the swine, pigs. They are good for nothing but to trample you. Are you guys with me? A pig is only good for being killed and eaten for bacon. So Jesus said, there are people that are like pigs. If you give them a secret or a revelation, they will trample on you. They will not appreciate it. Are you guys with me? Okay. I hope you can understand revelation. And please, I don't want to go on long, so we must end now, okay? So listen. He's saying, I'm speaking in a way because there are people that I don't want them to hear what I'm saying. Just in case they are repenting and forgive, their sins are forgiven them. Jesus never came for everybody. In this time, when he was there, he came for the Jews, not the Gentiles. So every one of you sitting here, he didn't come for you at that time. Salvation only came to the Gentiles in Acts chapter number 10. Are you guys with me? But there were some who tapped in. Elijah was a Gentile. Abraham was one. There are many who have tapped into righteousness and salvation, even though it was not even meant for them. How much more us who have the Spirit of God? Go with me back to Luke 1 verse 17. Say with me, the Spirit of Elijah. I hope this thing can take off now. Quickly, guys. He will also go before him. Listen here. John will go before him. Who's him? It's Jesus. In the spirit and the power of Elijah. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. There's a spirit of Elijah. Let me go with me to Malachi chapter number 4, verse 5. We'll be finished just now. Are you guys with me? The greatest realm of impartation is prophetic teaching and revelation. That you will see something that you have not seen before. Behold, listen to this, in the Old Testament, I will send you Elijah the prophet. But this is after Elijah already went to heaven. Are you guys with me? I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great, say with me, great and dreadful day of the Lord. Next verse. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Malachi is prophesying and he's saying, listen here, Elijah has to come back, the spirit of Elijah, and it's going to come in two times. It's going to come before Jesus is coming on the scene, which is on John the Baptist. Are you guys with me? Then there's going to be a second Elijah that's going to come before the rapture is going to take place. The spirit of Elijah must return. Say with me, the spirit and the power of Elijah. How is it that they can look at John and say the spirit of Elijah rests on him? How can they say the spirit and power of Elijah is on him when it's thousands of years later and they have no reference point of how Elijah looked? But they can look at him and say, we can see the spirit of Elijah upon him. It's called replication. That Elijah's mantle went to Elisha. Elisha was a bad father and he died with his mantle. That's why even his bones could resurrect people from the dead, because the mantle was kept in the grave. That John the Baptist, many thousands of years later, John the Baptist came into the temple, his parents, and they took a cloth. If you understand it, I'm not speaking Logos word now, that's in the Bible, speaking historical documents. And it was prophesied that he'll be in the wilderness, a voice preparing for the way of the Lord, eating grasshoppers and honey. Are you guys with me? I think with camel's clothing around him. And they could look at him and say, but this is the mantle of Elijah. The mantle that Elisha should have given to Gehazi has been given to John the Baptist thousands of years later. Because nobody decided to pick up that mantle until it came to John. When Malachi, the Bible says in the Malachi, that the spirit and power of Elijah has to come. It didn't happen. And there were a huge gap of silence until you get to the New Testament. I think it was 400 or 500 years of silence. God not speaking one thing. Nothing happening because nobody decided to pick up the spirit of Elijah and the power of Elijah. Are you guys with me? It says, and he will turn the hearts, go for one verse back, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day. There's a season of greatness. Before that season of greatness comes into your life, there has to be what we call the spirit of Elijah has to precede that season of greatness. Now listen, what is the spirit and power of Elijah? And number one, the Bible explains Elijah as the spirit of prayer and intercession. That he went up onto the mountain, got onto his knees and began to pray until he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. It's the spirit of prayer and intercession. That the book of James says that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. And it says that Elijah would pray and the heavens would be shut. And Elijah would pray again and the heavens would be opened. It's the spirit of prayer. And the scripture says, listen, Elijah has to come before the great and dreadful day. But it's speaking also of a season of greatness, because the time when Jesus came and John prepared the way for him, it was a season of greatness that was prepared. Before the rapture is going to take place, the rapture is a season of greatness. There's a season of greatness upon your life, whether it is a breakthrough in business or ministry, that it will not happen until the spirit of prayer and intercession will come upon your life. When the spirit of Elijah will rest upon you and you will decide, let me pick up this thing. I know some of you don't understand. It is okay. Have your seats. To some it has been given and to some not. Say this word. Say, I rip my veil open. And I prophesy, listen, as you sit here, may the veil that has tried to blind you by religion be removed. Because it is the prophetic that will maintain in the times that are coming. Are you guys with me? Say with me, the Spirit and the power of Elijah. Have your seats, have your seats. I have so many things to say, but we'll finish just now. Say with me, my season of greatness. Before that season of greatness can come, listen here. There are people that have prayed for years and years for a thing to happen and nothing has happened. Because they haven't tapped into what we call the Spirit of Elijah. Which means, number one, you need to be baptized with the Spirit of prayer and intercession. Number two, it's what we call, say with you, replication. Let's carry on verse 6. Next verse. It says, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Which says, when the Spirit of Elijah comes in, that it will restore fatherhood. Are you guys with me? The order of the kingdom of God is fatherhood. Not organizational or boss or senior pastor. The order of the kingdom of God is fatherhood. That's why you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible would say that Jesus said, I would do nothing unless I see my Father in heaven doing it. It's the order of fatherhood. And he's saying, listen here, when the Spirit of Elijah is going to come, it is going to bring prayer and intercession. It's going to bring a great season. Number three, it's going to restore fatherhood into the kingdom of God. That is why when many has come into here, and you might have come from other churches or got saved here, you will begin to understand fatherhood. Because where the Spirit of Elijah is, there's a prophetic spirit. You see, prophets are persecuted all the time. Scripture says, of whom of the prophets did they not kill? Of whom of the prophets did they not persecute? For every one of you, all your fathers, for every one of the prophets, they have killed and persecuted. That if somebody will come with a prophetic voice, you will always see the church and the religious system rising up against them. Because the devil knows that if he can shut God's voice with that, or the prophetic movement, prosperity will be wiped out in a nation. And you think I'm kidding, go study how nations would fall. It's when the prophets are removed. For the Bible says, for Israel was preserved by a prophet. Israel was delivered by a prophet. Are you guys with me? When you are sitting in a prophetic church, you are here because you have been given to this movement. And because you are prophetic, you just haven't discovered it yet. The only reason that you can sit here is because you are prophetic. You know, I think I said this morning, prophecy can still be faked. But how do you fake somebody being healed of cancer? How do you fake somebody delivered from heroin instantly? How do you fake somebody being saved that was the worst person, and in one day their heart has changed? How do you fake standing in front of someone? I think I was prophesying over somebody this morning, over a man. How do you fake standing in front of somebody and tell them the name of their father, which we have done all the time, or their name as a first time visiting the church? Yeah, people might think it is fake, but I'm telling you, that person, no, it's not. And the Bible says when the secrets of their hearts are being revealed through prophecy, they will fall on their knees and cry out, what shall we do to be saved? That That is the power of the prophetic. I have a church. No, I don't have a church. There's a church that has even written a handbook to tell people what not to do. And they used your favorite one, as an example. And I'm telling you, the voice of God has left the church. And some of you have come from there. And this is not anything that I can do. It's the grace of God. It's appointed. This house is appointed by God. Do not think this is the only movement. Even we have people all over the world. James flew in the second time just for importation. Oh my God. Let somebody have hunger. From Seattle to New York, from New York to South Africa. Many hours. Twice for import. I've done it 10 times for importation. That's why you will see me do things here. Because I've done it. I would sell everything I have to go and get importation. Importation is real. Are you guys with me? This is the way that the move of God will spread. And you will see many branches. And you will see God doing things with encounter. But he has, understand this, that as you sit here, he has given you into a prophetic movement. There's no value that I have. Nothing I can give you except my words. Are you guys with me? How many years received the prophecy? Raise your hands. Okay. How many has received the prophecy that has come to pass? Raise your hands. Look at that. That's fake, obviously. So, let's go to Luke chapter number 1, verse number 17. Back again. Look, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. We'll be finished now. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Say with me, prayer and intercession. When Jesus went up the mountain of transfiguration, he took three people with him, Peter, James, and John. And he had 12 disciples, but he was comfortable with three. He had 12 disciples to whom he could not show the glory of God. But there were three around him who could see the glory of God because he felt comfortable with them. And as they went up to the mountain, they slept. They were supposed to be praying, these guys. They slept. While they were sleeping, Elijah and Moses appeared to Jesus on the mountain. I don't even get to me about visitations when it comes to people who are saved that I've passed on. The scripture is full of it. Elijah and Moses. Listen to this. God said to Moses, Moses, I'm going to destroy Israel. I'm going to wipe them out. And then I'll take you and give you many wives. And you can just, make a lot of children and do a new nation. That's what God said to Moses. Are you guys with me? Moses begged and interceded and said, God, repent of your anger. And the Bible says that God repented of his anger. That is how close Moses and God was, because he was an intercessor. Because even Jesus, as he lives now, the Bible says he lives to forever make intercession on behalf of the saints. In his heavenly ministry, as in Jesus, as in his body. Christ is in you, but Jesus is in heaven. Okay? And he's making intercession. Moses interceded. Moses messed up that God said to Moses, listen, you will not enter to the promised land. You will not go into Israel. But then on the mountain of transfiguration, something confusing happens, that Moses and Elijah appears on that mountain. And Moses was somebody that was so liked by God that even at his funeral, God said, no one will attend. I will be the one that will bury him. And then the Bible says that the devil contended with Michael the archangel over the body of Moses. That is a whole nother thing that we'll not get into now. Okay. So now you see Moses appearing with Elijah on the mountaintop in Israel. But yet God said to him, you will never enter into Israel. So God violated his own instruction because he could find an intercessor and a prayer warrior and said, I will cause you to have a visitation on that mountain where Jesus is. That when Moses was on the Mount Sinai, when he encountered the glory of God, and the Bible says that God said, I'll put my hand upon you and I'll walk past you. My face you will not see, but my back you will see. It doesn't mean face and it doesn't mean back. Face means everything before time began, and back means everything after, from here on afterwards. Which means that while Moses was on that mountaintop, he appeared in that same moment with Jesus on the mountain. And he entered into the promised land. Which means in the spirit, there's no distance and there's no time. That when you are a prayer warrior, you're somebody that intercedes, that time cannot limit you. Distance cannot limit you. Which means that if those laws cannot limit you, then your bank account cannot limit you. Then when they say you cannot afford this property, it cannot limit you if you are a prayer warrior and intercessor. Are you guys with me? So God says, listen here, Moses. You have violated, or you have angered, I'm not going to send you into the promised land yet. God violated his own instruction and put him into the promised land. Even Jesus knew that on the mountaintop, he knew he needed the spirit of Elijah because of what is going to happen and going to come with the crucifixion. And then before his rapture, the Bible says this: Elijah has to come back. And this is not speaking of the two prophets at the end time of the book of Revelation. This is speaking of the spirit of Elijah. A people that'll decide to say, I'm going to walk in the spirit and power of Elijah. Meaning I'll be a prayer warrior and intercessor. Meaning there'll be a restoration of fatherhood and sonship. Meaning that those who are here, if you're saying, I'm doing prayer and intercession, I am connecting and I'm feeling fatherhood in this place, there'll be a replication that'll take place from me to you. A replication means, listen, when I was trained in ministry, and Pastor Marcus, my father, trained me up into the ministry at that time for many years. And I remember I was preaching. We were in Witbank somewhere. And we were preaching Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Me and the team were with me. And a lady came to me after the service. A husband, kids, three kids, come to me, normal family. They said, we just want to say thank you so much. I said, that's great. They said, you know, you in 1993, you prophesied over us. This and this and this and everything. And I'm standing and I'm thinking, but 1993, I was a young kid. She says, no. In Ladysmith there, you were prophesying all this stuff and everything came to pass. I said, but I was a kid. I don't understand. She said, but aren't you Mark Bredenkamp? The whole family thought I was him because of a replication. When the spirit and power of Elijah comes and you can submit yourself, there'll be a replication that when people look at you, they'll say, it'll look like you're of ECC. They will confuse you. Okay. Say with me, fatherhood. That's replication. Let me, are you guys with me? Then it says, in Malachi, we don't have to go back there, but it says these words. It says, and I will break the curse. When the spirit of Elijah, the spirit and power of Elijah comes upon a people, a curse will be broken. Are you guys with me? Then, say with me, acceleration. Let me just get the verses here. Go with me to 1 Kings 18 verse 46. We'll be finished now. 1 Kings 18, verse 46. The fact that you can sit like this tells me that your spirit's capacity has increased. And we won't do 5 hours like last time. 1 Kings 18, verse 46. Listen to this. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. He girded up his loins, which means that he had a mantle that was hanging like a robe. And he would take it up and make it tight around him so that he can run. And he ran ahead of Ahab. Ahab was in a chariot. Are you guys with me? Of horses. But when the hand of God came upon Elijah, acceleration came upon him. And he ran ahead of Ahab. And he arrived at the destination before Ahab even got there. Yet Ahab had horses and chariots. When the spirit of Elijah comes on you, there's an acceleration that will take place. That things that should have taken 4 years can take 4 months. When this anointing comes, there's what we call a divine acceleration. That speed and years will be redeemed. Time will be redeemed. It doesn't matter if you are 60 years old. Time will be redeemed. And what would have taken 50 years can be done in 1 or 2 years when this anointing falls on you. Are you guys with me? When you receive replication. Let's carry on. Let's go with me to John 2 verse 7. And he said to them, draw out now. And take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. Carry on. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. Verse 10. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. This is the miracle where Jesus turned water into wine. The Bible says it was the best wine. Are you guys with me? Usually that was kept for last. When it comes to these feasts, and a wine to become the best wine, there's a fermenting process that has to take years. Yet in 1 second, under the spirit and power of Elijah, which brings acceleration, something that should take long was quick. Are you guys with me? Go with me to John 6 verse 20. This is when Jesus was walking on the ocean, on the sea, in the storm, and the disciples were afraid. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. They thought they were looking at a ghost. Next verse. Then they willingly received him. Say with me, willingly. God can never force him on anyone. You have to willingly receive him. Are you guys with me? And immediately, the boat was at the land where they were going. Say with me, immediately. Let's check out. Say with me, willingly received him into the boat. And immediately, the boat was at the land where they were going. When they took him into the boat, when they opened their eyes again, they were on the other side. Are you guys with me? When I read this, I heard this from the Lord saying to me, those who willingly receive him, the presence, tangible presence, the spirit and power of Elijah, that which would have been a distance or would have taken you a while, that immediately, say with me, immediately. This is called the suddenlies of God. You will be on the other side, that even the storm that has tried to limit you, there will be an immediately, an anointing of the immediate that will come upon you. Stand to your feet wherever you are, church. Stand to your feet.